Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
This is Winning Cures Everything. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
This is the NFL reaction and recap to week number two. And boy, was there a lot to discuss. Good gracious. Chris, you doing all right today?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful, wonderful. The show brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They've got six wonderful sports books. You're going to like all of them. I guarantee it. They're all a good time. You can go put your bets down there. Go to tunicatravel.com to get more information on all six of them, along with all the other stuff that's going on down there. They got great concerts, great events, festivals, golf courses, etc. A lot of wonderful stuff happening down there. We're a fan of all of it. Go check it out, tunicatravel.com. Chris, let's jump into this thing. We don't want to take too much of anybody's time today. But, man, there was some major league news that happened over this weekend that is going to change, I would assume, ratings. I would assume projections for the rest of the year. Two playoff teams probably done. Let's jump in. I mean, tell me what's up with number one.
So, for starting at 11, here we go. We have to start the week with the two biggest losses of the week. Surefire Hall of Famer Drew Brees. Out for an extended period of time, 6-8 weeks. Nobody really knows. And then Ben Roethlisberger, he's out for the season. And both of these just massively changed these franchises. You know, the Steelers just report today they're bringing in Paxton Lynch for a look, surely just to be a backup. Mason Rudolph didn't look terrible, no. but he's also not. I don't think he's dynamic. I don't think he's the future. Teddy Bridgewater obviously hadn't worked with the ones in a long time. Looked like he has a lot of growing to do. If there's one of them that I think could at least carry the franchise the best they can, I think it is Bridgewater. I think it is the Saints. I think they have a lot more talent on that team from top to bottom, defensively, offensively, skill players, everything around.
I can agree with
Teddy.
That.
And I trust Sean Payton more than I trust any coach on the Steelers right now. To say, all right, I got to get this kid ready. And I think in a week or two, he could be a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. Will he be a star? Don't know that. Will he greatly improve? Not really sure. But can he be a sustainable quarterback for a little while? Maybe. So I think that's the biggest news. That's where you have to start, number one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Tell me this. So the Steelers announced that they traded their first-round pick for this coming season for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I think it's a terrible deal.
Ben Roethlisberger is 37 years old. Even if he does come back from this next year, he's going to be 38 next season.
With injury problems, coming off an elbow surgery on his throwing arm. So, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen there.
Why you wouldn't go on and move to who you think could be your future franchise player, especially after losing AB, after losing Le'Veon Bell?
You start the season off 0-2.
Yeah.
They're projected to be a bottom eight pick, I guess, or a top eight pick, however you say it. And I just can't – I can't see – I don't know. I cannot see Minkah Fitzpatrick, a safety. You know how I feel about secondary guys in the draft and all stuff.
Well, he wasn't worth the top eight pick in
last year's draft. And last year's draft is supposedly nowhere near as loaded as this year's draft, especially at the quarterback position where you're looking to move forward and go on.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I think Fitzpatrick will fit well in this defense.
But who cares?
But the value isn't equal.
So I mean, if you could make a deal for a second or a third, then we're having a different conversation. But you're giving up a top 10 pick.
Yeah, a top 10 pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick, which Normally, I'd be ecstatic about a situation like this because Alabama player going to the Steelers, obviously that's built in heaven for me as a fan of both programs, but this just made no sense from the outside.
I'm going to tell you, man, I don't like the philosophy or the excuse that I'm not being played right for players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to say the reason I'm not any good is because they're not playing me right. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that works for a quarterback.
No,
the only system on the team where if you can shut folks down, if you can make tackles in the open field, if you can get to the ball carrier when they're running the football, it shouldn't matter where they line you up. You either got a nose for a football or you don't. You can either play in the league or you can't.
I'm looking at it from a different perspective, okay?
I know what you're looking at it from.
If Lamar Jackson was lined up at wide receiver for, you know, the Ravens or whoever else, but he knew that he was a better quarterback than he was a wide receiver, it makes sense. He was playing out of position.
No,
he did
doesn't.
Significantly
no.
better last year when he was playing the correct position.
That's fine.
And we can argue and disagree about it, but I see where he's coming from on it.
The right. difference is every Alabama player that ever gets drafted, Gary, you think is going to be a Pro Bowler and a Hall of Famer. And every LSU player that I think gets drafted, I see them for who they were and what they are. And I just don't think Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to be great. And the Steelers just gave up a top 10 pick for him. And I think this
I just told you it doesn't make any sense to me. I think that he will fit the defense. But I don't expect him to be a Pro Bowler. I don't expect, you know, I think he could be a
long-term starter. I don't expect him to make that defense any better at all. So
okay.
I think they've got a lot of holes. They've got a lot of problems. And that's a bad move. This is a quarterback show. I will tell you, this entire episode is going to be nothing but quarterbacks. We're going to move to number two, Thursday Night Football. This was an awful, awful display of quarterbacks. And we can't blame this being on Thursday either. This is week two, all right? Yeah. If you're so beat up by week one and you've only got a short week to prepare for Thursday night and you play this badly, the rest of the season is going to go terrible. Cam Newton, in my opinion, is finished. I think he's done. Jameis.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Jameis is lucky he was playing Cam. That's it. I think this Tampa Bay team is going to struggle and struggle badly. They are going to have to play some bad teams with bad quarterbacks. Both of these guys, they just looked awful the entire night.
Yeah.
Would you trust either of these guys at all?
This was complete incompetence. No, I don't trust either one of them as far as I could throw them.
Yeah.
And the issue is that Cam, injury problems, he's in his head now. He's taken too many hits. There's just major problems with him. And the issue for the Panthers is that offense, that team, was built around him. And without the head, the rest of the body just falls apart, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to be able to – like, you can't just bring in – a regular pro-style quarterback and be successful with the pieces that they have around them, right?
Well,
Christian McCaffrey.
The other quarterback on the roster is Will Greer.
Yeah.
I don't know that Will Greer, A, is ready, and B –
I mean, he's still injured, right?
Yeah. Even if he was ready, I don't know how good he's going to be. I have no idea what the Panthers are going to do, and this really sucks. I had a lot of stock in the Panthers this year.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I've got so many investments.
As far as the Bucs go, Jameis, we don't trust him. But
no.
That defense looks – and it's not just against the Panthers. They also looked pretty good against the 49ers, who came out last week and just absolutely destroyed the Bengals. I think that Bucs defense is pretty good. And I think you kind of saw why they were willing to let McCoy walk after last season, right?
Well, no. Njoku is better than – I'm not Njoku. Ndamukong Suh is better than McCoy. They traded McCoy for Ndamukong Suh at the exact same position, and Sue's just a better player. He's just a better player. They won that.
I agree.
Moving on. Speaking of quarterbacks who are finished, I would like to introduce you to Joe Flacco. I refer to him as Joey Flaccid. He is terrible. He is, you're talking about done. If Thursday night football set the game back a decade, Sunday afternoon football between the Bears and the Broncos set it back at least 9.5 years. I mean, oh, it is. Yeah.
Trubisky, man.
You have a has-been in Flacco and in Mitchell, a guy who's a long way from being a never was. Okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea why the quarterback position is so bad right now in the NFL. In both of these guys, Joe had one amazing postseason where he just played lights out, won a Super Bowl. Congratulations. Every other year of his entire existence in the NFL has been the level of mediocrity. And now he would kill three random people to be mediocre. he's just terrible. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. And we thought, okay, maybe because last year obviously was not super accurate. His deep ball is just gone.
Gone. Finished.
We thought maybe a new location, a new environment, leaning. Yeah, but the issue is the Broncos are what the Ravens were. It was a team that was fronted by their defense, that leaned heavily on their defense, and you just needed the quarterback to make a few plays here and there. And I don't think he can do it anymore. He couldn't do it with the Ravens. And now
I thought getting up in the thin air would help his deep ball and would help his passing. And
no, it has not.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. He's done. He couldn't hit anything. I mean, between these two games, the Thursday night game and the Bears-Broncos game, more balls hit the ground than I've ever seen in professional football in my life.
You're
talking wide receivers all the injuries, were getting open.
Yeah, you're going to see more.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough to watch. All right.
Yes, it was.
We'll move on to number four. While we're trashing quarterbacks here, let's talk about Sunday night football, okay? Carson Wentz.
Very entertaining. Very
Matt
entertaining
Ryan.
Game.
We were supposed to get a game where we got two good quarterbacks, okay? Two guys that one has been an MVP. The other one was almost an MVP, got hurt. They did everything they could to give the game to the other person. Matt Ryan, three interceptions, while Carson Wentz, only two interceptions, but he missed more wide open guys than I've ever seen in my life from a guy who was on pace to at one point in time be an MVP.
Hey, I'll tell you this. All of these guys that are making all of this money right now, as bad as they are playing, it makes Dak Prescott worth $50 million a year.
We'll get to Dak, but you're exactly right, though. If I'm Dak, I love every second of this. Yes. Now I know a lot of people are going to make an excuse for Carson. Oh, we didn't have his best wide receivers. Look, I understand those guys weren't on the field. I watched that game. The receivers that were on the field were getting open. They were 2-3 yard separations from the other guy, and he wasn't close. He skipped more balls in and sailed more balls than I've ever seen. The best quarterback on that field last night or Sunday night, we're doing this Tuesday now, is Josh McCown. Josh McCown comes in the game because Carson takes a shot, all right? He's in the medical tent. He leads them down to the 12-yard line. He's on their way to score the best drive of the game so far on both sides of the ball. And what do they do? Oh, Carson's ready again. Let's put him back in there. Carson, three incompletions, sell him for a field goal. You see McCown has the offense. McCown is making something happen with
and
the misfits that are
off
on the field.
Street, man.
this is one of those, we're paying him a lot of money, we can't bench him. No, but you have an excuse with him being in concussion protocol to say, let's let McCown finish this drive. Let's see if we can get one in the end zone. Because 100%. The other bloke can't.
Yeah, it was very ridiculous to watch. I will say that. And now, to be fair, fantasy points-wise, both of these guys put up massive numbers.
They got a ton of yards.
And a lot of it was at the end of the game, right?
Well, Matt Ryan hit two monster passes to Julio. One was a little dink pass that Julio took to the house. The other one was a great throw and a big pass to Julio in the end zone. So they put up big fantasy numbers.
But speaking of the one,
we're not talking fantasy here, man.
No. I know. It's speaking of the Julio Jones thing. So Julio got his 3-year, $66 million contract, and is worth way more than that. That dude is a playmaker.
I don't know, man. He's worth what he's getting paid. 20-something million for a year for a receiver is pretty good.
Oh, I'm with you. I agree. But I'm telling you.
Especially with his age and his injury prone. Right now, he's healthy, and he's a monster.
And he is fast, good, gracious. They need about 11 of those guys on the field.
Yeah. All right. So, last quarterback I'm going to dump on today.
All right.
Kirk Cousins is just good enough to give you hope, but when the game's on the line, he will throw the most soul-crushing interceptions I've ever seen in my life.
He can't beat teams with winning records, including 1-0.
He can't beat anybody at all. That team has to be up. That team has to have a lead. And if they don't have a lead, they can play from the front. He can absolutely run an offense from the front. He's not a problem with that. That game's on the line. You're in the fourth quarter. This is a guy that you just live bet against all day long in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You just don't wager on any games whatsoever until they get to the fourth quarter. And then you just – if they have the lead, don't bet against them. They're not giving it up. But if they're trailing and they're coming back, I assure you, he is going to dog this game away. He just can't do it.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling to see – how much he folds under pressure. And I hate that because you and I are so high on the Vikings this year.
Yeah,
we thought that Kevin Stefanski and Gary Kubiak could fix this offense.
We talk about it all the time. Just some of these guys, you can't coach that out of them. I mean, they were on like the 12, 13-yard line.
They would have won this game.
Hang on. It was first and 10. And all he has to do is throw the ball away, and instead he's going to try to make an impossible throw that nobody in the league can make running backwards the way he was in triple coverage, and lo and behold, the guy comes down with the ball. It's first and 10 from the goal line almost. What are you doing? Just throw the damn thing away. You got a couple more chances.
Yeah, it made no sense to me. And Dalvin Cook, still incredibly impressive. But that's what they got to lean on, and they got to find a way to teach this guy to quit making these awful decisions. And like you said, sometimes you just can't coach it out of him. But, man, he folds under pressure like maybe nobody I've ever seen.
He's got just enough talent to keep you in all these games and give you hope, though. That's the worst.
Oh, and he'll put up massive numbers when you got one of those type of games. But the way that they coached him in that first game where they ran Dalvin Cook all over the Falcons.
They couldn't do that against the Packers. And we'll get on number six. Packers are 2-0, and they're two divisional wins. Man, that's a big lead to start the season off.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal. So
yeah, it certainly is. A road win at the Bears, and then you beat the Vikings at home. I mean, that's
– I assume this offense has to get better, but they don't look good. That defense is carrying them right now. You know who they look like? They look like the Bears of last year. That's who they look like.
Which is crazy because this defense should not be –
a team that the offense just can't get going, but this defense is good enough to carry you.
Which, how funny is that Matt LaFleur comes in, supposed to be the offensive guru that's supposed to fix this offense, and they are leaning heavily, heavily on that defense.
But that's the problem is you brought somebody in that's never had a history of fixing anybody's offense. And we just work under the assumption that
– because he was buddies with Sean McVay.
He used to coach in this McVay system. He's got to know what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's right. And then I know I crap on Rodgers all the time, but like his numbers the last couple of years have been awful. They're just all – I mean, he's good enough to win these games and not choke them away like Kirk Cousins – But I mean, they scored 3 touchdowns in like the first 7 minutes of this game,
and they didn't score for the rest of the game. Yeah, I mean, that was against the Vikings defense. That's pretty good. Last week was against the Bears defense. Pretty good.
Hey,
but still.
That Bears defense, the Broncos, shitty Joe Flacco, and the Broncos scored more than the Packers did against that Bears defense.
Okay? Yeah, they did.
So there's something wrong there. All right.
I do agree with you. All right. We moving on?
We'll move on to number 7. Okay. Right. So we'll get off bad quarterbacks. I'll change the topic.
Maybe some
Titans. The Titans set the field on fire. No. I know what you're thinking. See, hang on. Their offense sucked. Okay. No, not even wrong. Their offense sucked. They literally set the field on fire.
Yes, they did.
This was the most massive fire I've ever seen in my life in a football field. Like, this is insane. Did you watch this thing?
Yeah, no, I saw this. I watched
that poor
it
bastard
live.
Trying to put this fire out with a fire extinguisher. I was just like, yeah, that ain't working. That is not working.
Well, they talked about on Twitter, right? It was all over Twitter. Like, this is the state of Tennessee football right now between the Volunteers who had the boat catch on fire from the Vol Navy. And yep. It sank in before the first game. And then you've got the field catching on fire before
bad,
the Titans.
Bad omens, man. Bad omens.
I'll say this about the Titans. This was a lot of fun to watch. Like, not as a Titans fan, obviously, but just as a football fan. It was super entertaining. And I don't think you can take anything away from this game for the Titans. They look like a completely different team every time they play the Colts. There's something about that uniform for Indianapolis that completely changes the Titans' makeup. They don't look good against the Colts. They never have. They probably never will. What are they, 3-19 in their last 22?
Okay, you're making this about one team, and it just happens to be the three takeaways from this game that we can have that nobody's going to argue with. One, the Titans are exactly who I thought they were. They're an 8-8 team. They won last week, and they beat the hell out of the my Browns, and then they're going to come home. That means they're going to lay an egg, all right? Now, because they played so poorly this week, I don't know who they play next week. I haven't looked at the lines. I haven't
Jaguars
looked at the schedule
on Thursday.
Yet. I know this. I'll probably be leaning towards the Titans just because this is the team that they are. They play great. They don't have a good week of practice. They play poorly. They have a great week of practice. They play great. And they finish 8-8. All right. Second thing, the Colts have built this team around the trenches. And that's how you set yourself up for long-term success. That is just it. It doesn't matter if Jacoby Brissett was quarterback. It doesn't matter if they get a quarterback next year in the draft. Whoever that person is, whoever their quarterback is going forward, they are going to be fine. All right? It's not an Andrew Luck situation where they're going to throw a young quarterback in here and they're going to get killed. Okay? They're going to – this isn't David Carr back in Houston all those years ago either. That they have built this thing to where they can compete and be competitive and be there at the end of games in every game against almost any opponent.
Yeah.
That's really smart. The third thing I took away from this game and this week overall, the AFC South is going to be crazy to watch this year. This is the most intriguing division of the season.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think because we have no idea what the Texans are going to be like. Gardner Minshew playing for the Jaguars. We know they've got a pretty good defense. We'll see what happens with Jalen Ramsey, whether he wants to be traded or not. But along with the Colts and the Titans, everybody is good enough to beat everybody else.
Yep.
Nobody is a complete just crap team. And you've got some chances for some really big surprises.
Yep.
So I'm curious. I mean, everybody could finish 8-8. But somebody, I think, is going to, you know, the cream always rises to the top. We'll see what happens with it. I'm intrigued.
All right. So we'll move on. Since the start of preseason, the following quarterbacks are either done for the season or miss large parts of the game of the year after week two. Here's the list. Andrew Luck, retired.
Right.
Ben Roethlisberger, out for the season. Drew Brees, out 6 to 8 weeks. Sam Darnold, out 3 to 5 weeks. We really don't know.
3 to 7 is what they said.
Okay.
So he could miss 2 months.
Trevor Siemian, Sam Darnold's backup. Out for the season.
Yep.
Nick Foles, out 6 to 8 weeks, I'm guessing, with a collarbone.
Yeah. But no, Nick Foles is done for the year. He had to have surgery.
Oh, they had surgery? The collarbone takes that long to heal?
Yeah. So the clavicle, absolutely. Yeah, they said he's done for the year.
All right. Romo used to break that thing and come back in like 4 weeks and then break it again.
Well, I think
and come
it depends
weeks.
On if it's like a hairline fracture or whatever, right? But Foles, they said he's done.
All right. Well,
like they put him on injured reserve, and they traded for Josh Dobbs from the Steelers, who, by the way, looking at that deal now, don't you think the Steelers were like,
Morons.
Like, why did we trade this guy away?
Yeah. The Mike Lombardi always says on his podcast and all the things that he writes about, he says all the time, if the quarterback is the most important position on the field, the backup quarterback has to be the second most important position on the field.
Yes.
100%. If you want to compete every week, then it has to be. So, because it's the only position where you don't get depth at and practice reps. Other backup offensive linemen come in during practice every week, rotate in games. Every position on defense, you rotate in the games. Every skill position, you rotate in on the games. It's the only position you don't. So, all right, all that. And we're just 2 weeks into the season. It's just week two.
Yeah.
You know who isn't missing any time? You know who's always there for you come Sunday, come Monday? You know who's always just going to be there, and he's playing better than he's ever played before after 20 years in the league? My Lord and Savior, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
I didn't realize he had like four first names.
Hey, man.
What is that about?
He's got all the names. You can call him whatever you want. Listen. He's gonna take a few more here in a minute.
Good gracious.
That's a joy to watch this man. I watched Sunday, and yes, they beat up on the Dolphins.
On the lowly Dolphins.
Issues, and they've got these issues going on with the – next week, Luke Foles. Luke Falk.
Yeah, your boy from Washington State.
Yeah, is gonna team up with the Jets, and he's going to go up against Tom Brady. Both of them have something in common. They were both picked 199 in the draft.
Yeah.
That's where the similarities end, by the way.
That's about it. Yeah.
Tom has a few more touchdown passes.
You brought up Tom Brady. You know who else is playing insanely well right now? Patrick Mahomes. This looks like a
collision course. We're going to get there.
Is he? Oh, do you have that on the list?
You're stepping on my points here, man.
Man, whatever.
We're going to get there.
All right, go ahead. All right, let's do it.
Just all these injuries and the 42-year-old guy that's been playing for 20 years still getting it. Man, maybe there's something to this TB12 thing.
You might be right about that.
They don't sponsor the show, but they probably should.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Spent the majority of the show talking about QBs. This is a very QB-centric show.
Well, that's what the NFL is now.
And most of them suck right now.
Yep.
So we're going to give you the ones that don't suck. Let me introduce you to Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and my guy, Hustle and Bustle Russell. He's back. Russell Wilson, man. Yeah. 29 of 35, 300 yards passing, 3 TDs. Come on. It's been a while since we've had a Russell Wilson weekend where he just said, you know what? I'm going to throw this team on my back. I'm going to do some things that are crazy. Screw this offense. I'm just going to be the best player on the field. And it was fun to watch. It was great.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Talk about Mahomes, because Patrick is one of them. He's still really good. This dude could do. All right, I told you to talk about him. I'm gonna say one thing.
Go ahead.
And I'll let you go. Everyone talked about how much he could regress and still be the best quarterback in football. There is a chance that he might not regress at all. That he might get better. Can he throw 60 touchdowns this year?
I'm not gonna go that far. If he was going to get to 60, he needed to put up points in the second half against the Raiders, and he didn't do that. I will say this. Mahomes looks great. Obviously, it doesn't matter who is on the team. As long as he has a wide receiver, he will be able to hit him for some big plays, right? Yep. Like it was Robinson this week. Last week it was Sammy Watkins.
Does not matter.
Tyreek Hill is out. None of it matters, right? He will find guys, and that's totally fine. But last year, he was number one in success rate in the red zone. And this year, that has dropped off. He is like 38% success rate in the red zone, which is 27th in the league through two games.
Okay.
Not good. Right. But when you're hitting explosive plays and you don't get that many opportunities in the red zone,
he had three TDs last week. He had four this week. 30 for 44 for 443 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Let me introduce you to those numbers, okay? So let's talk about how bad he is in the red zone again. 443 and 4 TDs.
No, you're right.
Jesus, how bad can he be? Lamar Jackson, 24 of 36, 272 yards, 2 more touchdowns. This week, broke out the wheels. rushed 16 times for 120 yards. Dak Prescott, 26 of 30, 269 yards, three TDs for him. I mean, these guys, football is now becoming, with these injuries, we're getting a massive separation between the good teams and the bad teams. This chasm is growing wider and wider and wider.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're 100% right. So. I mean, it's when you've got a good quarterback in this league, you can win big time, right? And when you don't, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of in between anymore.
See, I don't know, man. I mean, we've seen teams last year, Mitchell Trubisky with that Bears defense, they were able to put up just enough and still win, 10 plus games. I think you can. Yeah. You have to be better than Mitchell, though. Like, you've got to be serviceable.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, right. I don't know. You got to be better than serviceable, but if you don't got it and your offense can't score, I mean, you better have one hell of a defense, and there aren't a ton of teams that have that, right? So there's a very fine line between the haves and the have-nots, and it's mind-boggling to watch because you can tell who's got it, tell who's got the right coaching. How's that?
Maybe that's it. I don't know. So we'll end it top five, bottom five, and this is a quarterback league, and this is a 100%. Quarterback top five, bottom five, baby. I'll give you my top five: Patriots, Ravens, Chiefs, Cowboys, Rams. Rams took over the fifth spot.
My fifth spot, I've got the Cowboys. Like I think they're good. I think they're really good. I want to see it against better competition.
Like the Packers, they've started off the year with two divisional wins.
Yeah, but I don't think we know what the Redskins are, and I mean, the Giants, it looks like they're making the swap from Eli to Daniel Jones already.
Yep.
So I don't think that either one of those teams is very good. I mean, the Redskins have been serviceable, but I still, whatever, right? I want to see them do it against somebody that I respect. How's that?
I just don't – you keep saying that. I don't know who that is, so. All right, bottom five. Here we go.
All right.
Dolphins, Giants, Steelers, Panthers, Jets.
Much
different?
I didn't realize you had given out the full top five. I got the Pats, Chiefs, Rams, Ravens, and Cowboys. For my bottom five, I got Dolphins at 32. I got Giants, Panthers, Steelers, and then I got Jets right before the Steelers.
So you just have the Steelers and the Panthers flopped for me, flip flopped.
I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we're pretty close on all these. There's a definite haves and have nots, and look at the quarterbacks at all these positions 100%. And all these teams.
Now I wanted to put had there not been injuries, the Broncos would have been in there, right? Like, I think the Broncos have some major problems right now.
They're not close to as bad as these teams.
But that's
the
where...
The Bengals would have been – had the Jets shown up on Monday night, the Cincinnati would have been the team that I would have put in before the Broncos. The Broncos still have a really good defense. These teams that I have on this list, I don't think they're good at anything. And the Broncos are still going to have a top five, top ten defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
the comeback that they made in that game, that's the difference between the Broncos and these. Now, they're not a whole lot above these guys, all right? Believe me. But
I'm curious about the Bengals, right? I mean, because we talk about them not being very good, and we don't like the new coach, or at least we don't know about the new coach. But, we do like the Seahawks, and they showed up in Seattle and gave the Seahawks all they wanted. Now, they turned around this week, and the 49ers just demolished them in Cincy, right?
You can't look at the NFL like college. You have to. It's a week-to-week game.
Agreed. And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
A team has a bad week and then literally can come back the next week and be one of the best teams in the league. And vice versa, the Titans. The Titans look like the best football team on Sunday when they went out last Sunday against the Browns on the road against a hyped up team and beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Then they come home and they fall all to pieces against a backup quarterback. And their offense looks like crap against a defense that we think is good, but not great. So it's just the week-to-week league. The Seahawks played the worst game they could possibly play. The Bengals played the best game they could possibly play, and they almost got. And they got out of it with a win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gave them a good week of practice. They got to go to Pittsburgh. And before Ben went down and his arm was jacked up, he was not looking great.
No, definitely wasn't.
Mason Rudolph played just as good as Ben Roethlisberger played the first 2 weeks.
So, I agree with that 100%.
It's going to be a weird season with all these injuries.
Yes, it is. It's the viewership numbers were up ever so slightly last year. I got a feeling they're going to drop back down again. This isn't good football right now. And it for years, it hasn't been for the first few weeks of the season, right?
Yeah, week one through four is always bad because no one works in preseason and they don't really get to practice enough. So it's just the way the game is and the collective bargaining agreement's gone. If I was these owners and I was these coaches, I would find a way to come up with a bigger percentage of money and pay these guys more money, but they have to agree to practice. They just have to. You got to put on – I know it's not safe, and I know more guys will get hurt. You got to go to the union's got to ask for more roster spots for more jobs, okay? And the owners have to be willing to pay more players, have bigger rosters, and they have to be able to practice more.
I do wonder if maybe there wouldn't be as many injuries if they got more practice, right? Like if your body is more accustomed to the rigors of this – then maybe it's not so, you know.
Some of these things you're not predicting. I mean, some of these things are nothing you do nothing about Myles Garrett just falling on you and snapping your ankle. I mean, that's just nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to have that kind of stuff happen.
Whatever Ben did when he threw his arm, there's no one knows. I mean, no one touched him. He just popped his elbow.
Apparently this was something that's been going on. Like, Pro Football Doc talks about this. It looked like this was something that had been going on for several weeks, and they were just trying to get Ben to play through it, which he thinks there'll be an investigation by the NFL regarding the injury report, because it was never brought up, it was never discussed, but when it happened, everybody was just nonchalant, like, all right, yep, there it went. And he said it's similar to Tommy John surgery, but not exactly the same thing. So, like, he could come back and be great. But apparently, it looked like something that's been – they've been talking about it for a while, like just behind closed doors, which could be – I mean, that could be massive, right?
Who knows? That if they're doing that, then that's a problem. But that sounds like something that Aaron Rodgers would say when he plays like crap for a couple of weeks. Yeah. I was playing hurt the whole time, and it finally popped.
The Steelers have not said that, oh, he was playing hurt. He was just playing through it. Just their reaction to everything like has looked about like this. And if you watched how he was playing against the Patriots, he looked off. We just thought he was done, right? But if it's an injury, maybe there's something to that. So now I think it had something to do with, you know, possibly an injury and the fact that the Patriots are freaking ridiculously good on defense.
Hey, like, is there a world in which they don't give up a touchdown for the first month of football?
100%.
Because they have the Jets next week, and then who do they have after that? It's not a good football team.
No,
week four, they play the Bills at Buffalo. Buffalo will score on them.
Buffalo will score. I mean, it could be a defensive touchdown, but, you know.
No, Buffalo will score an offensive touchdown. They're good.
Yeah.
Buffalo's a good team. They're 2-0, baby.
Oh,
best
yeah.
team in the state of New York.
Oh, and their defense looks unbelievable.
God, I was so right on them. I've been wrong on the Broncos. I was big wrong on them. I'm so right on Buffalo Bills.
Oh yeah, and they got the Bengals coming into town this week.
Yeah, they're gonna make the playoffs. I've got so much invested in their over and them making the playoffs this year. Really good payouts on that. I'm so happy.
Absolutely. All right, you ready to get out of here?
That's it. Let's go.
All right. So that is Winning Cures Everything. Again, you can find us on social media. Go over to winningcureseverything.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you're listening to the podcast, leave us a nice review. We would appreciate that very much so. We thank you guys for supporting the show. We will see you all again with our gambling picks and our previews and everything else for the rest of the week tomorrow.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.